Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds.
I represent a claimant, and I want to have this procedure going fast.
Yeah, and I represent the respondent, and I'd like it to go relatively fast, but since you're going to lose, I'd like it to go in the right time necessary to get the evidence out.
Yeah, I guess you would prefer to go, not so quickly as you want.
There's a lot of negotiating that goes on in international arbitration, and perhaps the most important for the parties in terms of how the process is to unfold is their effort to define the arbitral process at the beginning of the arbitration, at the beginning of the dispute. In this week's episode and next week, I'm joined by Roberto Calabresi, a partner at Studio Legale Calabresi Guadalupe in Florence, Italy, to help me act out a negotiation over a party's effort to agree on procedure before getting together with a tribunal for a first initial procedural hearing. The goal of this negotiation, obviously, is to try to agree as much as possible so that the tribunal will not have that much left to decide on how the proceedings will be conducted.
I represent a technology company providing services and equipment worldwide. And in particular, in this case, we filed a request for arbitration, claiming the payment of $3 million, two of them being the balance of the contract price, because your company is withholding money, and $1 million is for extra costs excluded by the contract.
Well, actually, my company is not withholding money as much as we're setting off because, as you know, the equipment that you supplied was defective. And as a result, caused us about $6 million of damages. So it's not that we're not withholding money. We're just setting off the money to compensate for what's due to us. We haven't. I guess that's one of the reasons we're in arbitration, right?
Yeah, I'm aware of the contrary, actually, yes.
And I think we've been through this maybe a few too many times in real life. So, the arbitration is uncitral under the contract. Three arbitrators, and we've already appointed. They're all from different countries. It's interesting. We have three arbitrators from three different countries in Europe, all civil law countries. Your company is based where?
In Italy.
Oh, nice country.
Headquarters in Milan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to say that my company is based in Belgium. Okay.
Okay. So, not so far in any case.
And there are flights between the two. Place of arbitration is, and I guess for this sort of dispute, really, we could say Geneva.
Geneva's fine.
Or Paris or Milan or let's say Geneva.
Geneva's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't want to give you a particular advantage since you're an Italian lawyer. It's my recording, so I get to make up the rules.
Yeah. Right. I prefer, Lugano at this stage, but in any case.
Yeah.
Simply because it's closer to Milan, yes.
Well, I like the lake.
Okay.
Geneva. Oh. All right, so you got a couple of threshold issues in dispute.
Yeah.
One is you're contesting that there were defects?
Of course. Of course. I'm not contesting. I know that they were not defects.
Okay. So we have a serious technical issue here.
Yeah, it's technical.
Okay.
Yes.
And we have a couple of legal issues, right?
Of course. Yes, you are claiming actually more than what is the limitation of liability provided in the contract. So, we claim the application of the limitation of liability in any case. So,
the contractual limitation.
Yeah, the contractual limitation, of course. So, my first defense to your claim will be, in any case, legal. Being that, the damages that you are claiming are excluded and limited by the contract.
Okay, so the consequential, you mean the lost profits?
The lost profit, of course, yeah.
So you're saying the lost profits I'm claiming, because not all lost profits, but some of, a lot of, well.
Yeah, but the rest for me is a warranty obligation, and we comply with all warranty obligations under the contract, so.
Okay, so we have a dispute over whether or not there are different limitations of liability in the contract and if they apply. And the other issue?
Yeah, there's no other issue if not, the point that you are claiming the set-off of the amounts due to us and allegedly did to you. So we say that legally this set off is not it's not due. So, I mean, we are claiming that there is no set off here.
Okay. And I'm saying that if you damage me for more than what I owe you, then I'm going to hold on to the money.
Okay.
So you think that, okay, that's something that, that's an issue.
Yeah, in other words,
it's a legal issue.
Yeah, there is no right to withhold money from the contract price in any case.
Okay. What law are we going to, what's the law of the contract? I think we forgot.
Well, French law.
French law. That's a good French law. So the right of set off. Okay. The limitation of liability under. All right. Well, we're going to, as we know, under our hypothetical dispute, we have a procedural hearing next week with all three arbitrators in Geneva, we've just discovered. We'll be getting together with them. And the idea is for us to work out what we'd like to see as a procedural order that could emerge from that first hearing with the tribunal, with all three arbitrators. And to the extent that you and I can't agree on any procedural aspects, we'll leave that for the tribunal to decide. We're going to operate on the presumption that we don't have to have me or you pushing for a common law style arbitration. We acknowledge this will be largely in a civil law style arbitration. The parties are both from civil law countries. The arbitrators are all from civil law countries. Nobody is pushing this for this to be a common law U.S., Canadian, U.K. style, Australian, Indian style arbitration. Okay, well, before we talk about the calendar, should we talk about some sort of general issues or concepts that we, in terms of the approach, like how long do you think the arbitration should last? How long do you think see it going?
Yeah, actually, for me, time is of the essence. Also, I mean, in this case,
why it took you 20 years
because,
to perform this contract. Now time is of the essence.
No. In this case, I mean, our claims, at least, are so simple that we believe that it can be decided and granted by the panel without, I mean, any particular investigation or a long proof-taking stage or something like that. So I would propose, a time limit for the tribunal of no more than 9 months.
Probably, 9 months?
Yes, from now. In order to issue the award, including any, I mean, technical expertise they may find useful to carry out.
Do you see the need for the tribunal to appoint an expert?
Actually, I would like to explore the possibility of having a sort of partial award, in particular on the application of the limitation of liability. In case, we expect, obviously, the decision is favorable to us, so to the application of the limitation of liability, I don't think there is any need for an expertise in this case.
So you don't think there's going to need to be? Frankly, I don't see how you can decide the issues in this case, which are technical issues. I mean, you supplied, in my view, some pretty seriously defective equipment. And for me to establish that, I mean, we either go one of two routes, which is through the presentation of party experts, and the tribunal can decide with them, or we can ask the tribunal to appoint an expert and to do an investigation.
Yeah, no, to be very open, we believe that in any case, irrespectively of the existence of the alleged defects, the limitation of liability would exclude any liability on our side. But if you allege a gross negligence, that will be a different point. And I think that, I mean, if under French law, your claim is that the limitation of liability doesn't apply because of no gross negligence in providing services and equipment, then we need to have an expert appointed by the tribunal to carry out an investigation.
Wait, so you're arguing to have the limitation of liability issue decided first, but whether it was gross negligence or not in the performance or recklessness in the performance of the contract, I mean, if there is a limitation of liability, that would vitiate, nullify the limitation, I would think, under French law.
The point is that, I mean, your answer actually is not so specific on this point, so I don't know exactly where you want to go.
If you want my hypothetical answer.
Yes, if you want to point out a gross negligence, now it's time to say that, because I believe that for us as parties, if we want to limit, costs and timeline.
Right, so you're arguing then for an early determination of whether there's a legal limitation of liability that applies in the absence of gross negligence.
Yes, actually, what I'm saying here is that for us it could be useful to have a partial award on the application of limitation of liability if you are not alleging gross negligence. Otherwise,
I'm alleging gross negligence.
Okay. So if you're alleging that, I believe that we need to have an expertise.
Okay.
And we need to have someone appointed by the tribunal. I don't want to have, actually, cross-examination of my experts, of your experts. We'll present our case with expert statements and reports. But in any case, I don't want to have cross-examination. I would prefer to have the panel conducting the procedure as we expect to do in civil countries, so with a neutral expert appointed by them, providing a report and answering questions, such as if there is gross negligence in this case or not.
Well, yeah, I think that we're in agreement on an overall issue that needs to be decided, and that is the question of gross negligence. I guess I hadn't, you know, we could go with the recommendation to the tribunal that they appoint an expert in the area, given this is a highly technical area. These are arbitrators who may not have the expertise. So maybe that's a simplification. We can discuss separately what the qualifications of the expert ought to be that we would recommend for the appointment. But that'd be a separate conversation.
Yeah, I'm not saying we need an expert to ascertain gross negligence. I'm saying if you are alleging gross negligence, it will be for us and for the tribunal to qualify the findings of the expert, it's useless to have.
I don't see how you can decide the limitation of liability issue until you've had the expert who's done an investigation. Okay, so we're on that. What about the other issue that we were discussing, that of set off? You said you thought that's something that you think could be decided early?
Yes, of course. I mean, I will say that if you look at the contract, it's quite clear that there is no right for you to withhold the money. I would ask the tribunal to render a partial award, in any case, a partial decision on our contractual right to be paid for the $2 million that is still outstanding.
The contractual amount that's still...
Yes.
So your position is that under French law, even though you've damaged me for more than the contract price, I still have to pay you.
Yeah, I want to have a declaration or a decision that states that you have to pay me, and then we'll talk together.
Okay, I oppose that, but I'm okay with having that decided early.
Okay.
So I think it'd be great for the tribunal to decide in my favor. In any event, it's going to change things. If I have to pay you money right now, we may see what's going to happen in the settlement.
Yes, since we are open to discuss all steps of the procedure, I will introduce now the possibility of having mediation efforts during the procedure. Depending on the procedure that the panel will follow and what we agree today. For example, if I have if we have a partial award on our entitlement to be paid for the $2 million and we have a partial award on the set off, which is favorable to us, I think it will be
a good time to
have at least an attempt for mediation.
I'm okay with that. So in other words, because it's going to be one way or the other. I mean, either you're entitled to your money now or you're not. And having that decided now may help us be a good time. All right. Well, let's talk about that when we get to the calendar. But I agree in principle. By the way, I don't want it just to tell you. I'd rather have it. None of the arbitrators who are appointed, at least that I'm aware, know anything. I don't think know anything about mediation, but they're arbitrators. I don't think that they're mediators. We should agree. Let's agree on somebody else who would be the appropriate mediator.
And
we avoid the issue also whether or not the arbitrator should also be have access to a confidential discussion, settlement discussion. Okay, we'll have somebody else in there.
We can do that at the very beginning if you want with the arbitrators. At the first hearing, probably.
We'll talk about it in the calendar. When we get to doing the calendar, that's sort of a stage for mediation. All right. Moving quickly, rules of evidence.
I will stay on, civil law rules. So excluding discovery.
I think the IBA rules ought to apply.
Mike, I must tell you that I want to take advantage of the fact that we have in a civil law country with three arbitrators coming from civil law countries with a civil law background, so I will oppose against.
Yeah, this isn't a domestic arbitration. It's an international arbitration. I think it's wrong to look at the IBA rules as common law, a bridge between common law and civil law. Why can't you use them in a civil law proceeding? It's an international proceeding. They're good rules.
Yeah, for the simple reason that too often for us, discovery has been taken as an opportunity to look at our proprietary rights and design and whatever, and it's a sort of fishing expedition, if you want to.
Intellectual property?
Intellectual property.
We're not interested in learning about defective intellectual property.
You're talking about softwares and services related to technology, so more or less. The line between between the need for an evidence of this case and the fishing expedition is really something difficult to draw.
The IBA rules, you know, have a threshold of materiality and relevance to the proceeding. Yeah. So it's not like we're going to be able to go out on a broad fishing expedition. It's only that, you know, I do want to have some amount of document discovery on issues specifically relating to the defects that we're alleging here. I mean, also because
I understand that. I want to know more about the kind of defects that you are alleging before saying that I'm open to accept a discovery procedure. If you simply say, I mean, I experienced defects or problems with your software or your, in any case, technology services or whatever, it's not enough for me to accept a discovery procedure. I believe that the panel can apply different rules.
Well, to me, the IBA rules is not whether there's going to be broad or narrow discovery. It's the question is whether or not there's going to be a general framework for it, and then you got to pass the threshold test of materiality. But anyway, it sounds like we don't have an agreement. Like you don't want the IBA rules, and
absolutely
I do.
Not.
All right, so let's put that into our box of issues for the tribunal. Okay.
Yeah.
Is the rules that the evidence rules that will apply. Then. Do you foresee submitting witness statements?
Yeah. I would suggest to have witness statements and expert reports attached to the statement of claim and the statement of defense. If you think, I mean, it's good to have.
You mean party
statement
expert reports?
Of that? Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Because actually, I mean, we described our claims in the request for arbitration, but there is no detail. So we believe it will be useful for you to understand more about our claims. And
you know, I don't understand anything, but you supplied a rather skeletal request for arbitration.
And what about your answer? It's the appointment of the arbitrator and nothing more than that. So
you answered something that's skeletal. Our counterclaim was 500 pages.
Yeah, where? I mean, probably you have that in your office. It's not filed.
I think it was maybe the courier didn't deliver it.
It's
in the mail.
Likely.
Join us next week when Roberto returns to continue the negotiations on the calendar or procedural timetable for the arbitration.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast, or the issues discussed, can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.